you can't go anywhere without somebody, without music on, right? And what I hate about that is that people don't listen to it. They don't, it's just, okay, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having background music. That's all right. But often it's just there because people, I don't know, they feel more, it's like having the TV on. It's like people feel more comfortable having something on. And I hate that, because I think if music is playing, you should be aware of it, you know? And so that's why I would listen to music in the supermarket, because I hate the music that they play at Albert Heijn. And so often I listen to music to mask music that I hate.
From the city of Amsterdam, this is Antennas to Heaven. Today, with Daniel Schechter. This episode is titled "There Are Other Worlds They Have Not Told You Of."
I was living at the time in a town called Bellingham, which is a weird little town north of Seattle, between Seattle and Vancouver, BC. And the reason I was living there was because my ex-wife was from there. Anyway, so we had lived in Mexico together for years before we got married, and then we moved to actually on my prompting we moved to Bellingham, which was her original, because I had enough of living in Mexico. And so if you lived in Bellingham, basically you were between two cultural cities, Seattle and Vancouver, BC. And so I, at that time, I had a car and I would just go to Seattle or Vancouver to hear music. For example, things like Pavement and Wilco and Yola Tango.
Are you scared of making money?
What?
Are you scared of making money? Because with a video like that, you don't have to worry about it.
Well, I really don't
Do
think
you want so. My wife and kids to go hungry? What did my family ever do to Yola Tango to make you hate them so much?
Nothing.
You're damn right, nothing! Now we're gonna have to start from scratch. Young band, you are going to rock school.
I Am Not Afraid of You and I Will Beat Your Ass is the album. And is that a concert ticket? Probably. She went with me to the Yola Tango concert, right? But she wasn't really a music fan, or she isn't really a music fan because she's still around, but if it was loud stuff, she didn't like it. She had the slightest interest in music in general. Yeah. Now you understand why we broke up. On the other hand, you know, you go to Morocco, yeah, and there's a kind of a different perspective about relationships in Morocco. You don't have to. The woman doesn't have to match your interests in the slightest. She's just your wife. But that, in the past, probably you go 100 years ago in Spain or in Holland, it would have been the same thing. I mean, there is no... But now we have this idea that our mate has to have similar interests to us.
Oh,
time I was living in D.C., I went to a record fair, and at that time I didn't have a record player. I had I was listening to cassettes, and I found a cassette by that group. Now, why did I pick up that cassette? And maybe somewhere I had read about Yola Tengo, and somebody praised them. And so I said, okay, I'll check this out. The cover was just, it looked like some kind of vortex. I had no idea what it was. But, you know, I knew when I put it on, suddenly I had to just keep listening to this. And it was weird because it was like that music was like, it was sort of folky. And you know, I didn't really understand what they were doing. It sounded like folk because they were playing acoustic guitars. But then suddenly it kind of like changed into this crazy electronic feedback rave up, you know. And I'm like... But it was all interesting. And then they would play a song that was like a record that might have been a hit, a Creedence record, something like that, you know, that might have been a hit on the radio in 1968. And then I realized there was something really interesting about this band. They were, and I real later I realized that the leader of that band, Ira Kaplan, basically what he did was he took, the history of rock and roll, but he put it through this kind of alternative rock lens or something like that. And he wasn't the sort of person who listened to old Eric Clapton and Cream records. He knew that music, and he knew the Grateful Dead, and he knew all that music. But he wasn't into, you know, just replaying that. He was excited by the possibilities of whatever it was, alternative rock. And so that's what he did. He took all that history and he somehow moved it forward. And I guess, I don't know if I realized that at the time. My main source of music was the radio. And the radio was very different then, at least. In New York, you had particularly the stations that probably Ira Kaplan was listening to as well, were WNEW-FM.
CBS FM, Elvis Presley, 1956, at Heartbreak Hotel. I don't want to check in there, not the day before Thanksgiving. Hey, these are the Allman Brothers. It's number 14, Ramblin' Man.
And these, they had a very open format. They played whatever the DJs wanted to play. Particularly that station WCBS FM, they would play anything. They would play rock, whatever, T-Rex, The Doors, but they would also play black music, Isaac Hayes, Curtis Mayfield. So it was all kind of like blending together. And I think that's very important, that I learned that not to put these barriers between categories from listening to those radio stations. And I was like this total geek. I would sit there listening, writing down the titles of the songs, you know, I was very serious about it. And I think my parents were worried about that. But then what's interesting about that is that, like, maybe a year later, everything changed on the radio, that is. Suddenly, radio became corporate. And I realized, what's going on? You know, because suddenly the same radio stations I was listening to that were open put everything into categories, and they played the same records over and over again. And I thought, I don't want to listen to the radio anymore. You know, this is not interesting anymore. And that was the moment when I could put a year on it. It was probably 1972 or so. That was the year. That's when radio went corporate. That's when everything became categorized. And it was the end of an era of this kind of open radio. And I'm sure Ira Kaplan will tell you the same thing. That's where he's coming from. That's why I so well relate to that music. If you listen to their body of work, which is now quite vast, you hear that they're open to everything. So that's probably why I like that band so much. And then, you know, another dead-end job I had was I worked at the gift shop of the Smithsonian Museum. Well, the Smithsonian is like, it's America's museum, you know. And they have all these different museums. And so they have, you know, hundreds of kind of like low-wage jobs, people working in gift shops. And there, I mean, the reason I'm mentioning this is, you know, how do you find out about music, right? So you meet people, you know, in these dead-end jobs, and they're totally into music. And there I met this guy, his name was Stanley Dyers. He was a kid, I mean, he was much younger than me. And he was like, okay, come on, we're gonna go hear My Bloody Valentine. You know, who's that, you know? And then I saw My Bloody Valentine in this little club, and you know, it was amazing, you know? Although it was pretty loud, but... they were just so out there. They were just so on another plane. They were just so in love with feedback and noise that it was like they were just creating these soundscapes, you know. They were like totally oblivious to the audience. They were just like standing there like statues, you know, but just making this incredible noise, you know. So, you know, I learned about music from these other, you know, low wage earners. You know, the point is, like, you meet musical fanatics who are, okay, so those people are, that's my community, right? But it seems like I just don't meet that many people who are like that. I had a good friend in D.C., when I was teaching English there. That's another one of my recurrent jobs. And he turned me on to all kinds of great jazz and also funk. He was the one who showed me The Meters. Do you know that band?
Yeah.
Just a fantastic funk group from New Orleans, and I thought at that time the guy's name is Glenn. I thought Glenn can do no wrong. I have to keep getting music from Glenn, and then I sort of moved on, and now Glenn to me seems like somebody who's stuck in that period. You know, most people are listening to whatever, American pop music or English pop music, but, you know, other music like Brazilian music and African music makes you realize that this kind of music was developing at the same time in a sort of a parallel universe, and is just as interesting or more interesting than a lot of this, stuff that everybody listens to all the time. It's just like, that is, it's a good example of something that opens another door, right, into another universe. You know, for me, that's a big issue. I'm generally unable to share with people, and that's kind of almost tragic for me, is that this whole universe is in my head. But I'm glad that I have all this music to go back to and enjoy, you know, because that's what it's. That's what music for me is ultimately about. It's just, you know, it satisfies my soul.
Just
I was briefly dating a woman that I had met. It was the only online date I ever had, but that wasn't through Tinder. That was before Tinder. It was through Craigslist. And she was into. She loved Tom Verlaine. She also loved Patti Smith, and I don't really like Patti Smith, but we our musical interests match. You know, Tom Verlaine to me is just. We also went to see Yo La Tengo together. We went to. It's amazing if I think back how many shows we did go together. Because I only knew her for a brief period of time. But maybe I'll still find that woman. But I doubt it. Most of the time I'm trying to discover new things and hear new things, and I tend to mix it all up and then play it while I'm washing the dishes or whatever it is I'm doing. I can often be surprised by some of the things I hear. But, you know, it's just like economically so viable to just get stuff from the library and put it on your computer. So that's what I've been doing mostly for the past 15 years, wherever I am. No, I've never been to Brazil. I'm fascinated by the music. And I mean, it's like my last frontier. I have to go to Brazil before I die. I do have to go. But I need to get lots of money. Oh, a pé ou de avião.
tem fé, a fé costuma acompanhar. Oh, oh, pelo sim, pelo não. Andar com fé eu vou, que a fé não costuma falhar. Andar com fé eu vou, que a fé não costuma falhar. Oh, lá, lá. Costuma falhar, com fé eu vou, que a fé não costuma falhar. Menininha, andar com fé eu vou, que a fé não costuma falhar.
You've been listening to Antennas to Heaven, produced and edited by Daniel Garcia. The song you've just listened is Andar con Fe by Gilberto Gil. There were other songs by Yo La Tengo, My Bloody Valentine, Sun Ra, and The Meters. There were some other artists and sources of sounds that I will add to the description of the episode. Thanks, Daniel, and thank you for listening.